Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Restoration Christian Ministries celebrates its 10th anniversary with our guest speaker, Dr. James A. Kuykendall.
The things that we would normally expect, okay, God is saying, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, some things I will do because you expect it. He says, but I'm going to go in different strategies. Mm-hmm. I'm going in different ways. Matter of fact, I'm even going to use people that you don't even know that I've already set up that's going to bring prosperity to your life.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because yes. The blessings are on you. Say this, and the blessings are on me.
Now,
watch this. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and 6, it said, listen to the blessings are on your head.
That's right.
Yes. Does that say that?
That's yes. Right.
All right, put your hand on your big head, okay?
Ah.
And just tell your neighbor, maybe the blessings are on me.
The
blessings are on my head.
Blessings
on
my head.
Amen. That's right. Touch yourself, because you don't want nobody else to touch your head. You can touch your own stuff. All right, because some folks, they get mad. You start touching their little head. Amen. They done paid $100 to get their little weed tightened up. Come on, somebody. They don't even want no wind to be blown through. They get mad if it's a windy day. All right? You see, the blessings are on the head.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. The question is, if the blessings are on me in this season, for how long?
Yes.
How long are the blessings? Is this for a day? Is this for a week? For a month? For a year?
Mm.
Okay, the answer is found in Psalm 65, verse 11. Praise God. When I read this last week, I tell you, I said, Lord, hallelujah.
65 verse 11.
Psalm 65 verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
Thou crownest. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You know. Go ahead.
Thou crownest the year with thy goodness.
Oh my God. Wait. How long?
A year.
With a year.
A year.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Not. See, that was just one blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you hearing me? What month is it?
Uh-huh.
What month is it?
April.
This is the fourth month, okay, of a 12-month year cycle. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you got regular eight. You got eight more months.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell your name, Mr. Neighbor. I'm proud with blessings for the rest of the year. Now, you need to understand that, listen, he's going to do exceeding abundantly for all that you can ask or think. See, now, when you live in the realm of expectancy, there's some things you don't even got to pray about. I can show you right there in the scripture. You don't even got to pray about. Okay? What's everything that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have them. Okay, that's in Mark 11:24. But in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly for all that you could ask.
Or think.
Maybe you just think about it.
Some
things you ain't gotta pray about.
Yeah.
So tell you that, just start thinking about it. Can anybody imagine where you want to go?
Yes.
Can anybody see that you look more better in your future than you look right now?
Yes.
Amen. And can anybody believe that by faith?
Yes. Yes.
I want you to turn your neighbor and prophesy about yourself to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I look so much better in my future than I look right now.
Tell him,
this ain't even a smitten of where I'm going. Back in the 1800s, actually early 1900s, and it was, you know, as far as boxing, okay, where they had rules and regulations,
right.
All right, certain things you cannot do, okay, in the ring in professional prize fighting, okay, but the no-holds-barred means anything goes to win. Yeah. So God says, listen, no holds barred, because I'm going to do what I got to do to bless you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Listen to me. And I'm not going to come with restrictions and regulations and limitations because I'm God.
Yeah.
He said, this is the year of the pour out to pour in. Did y'all get that? This is the year to pour out, to pour in. Take it, it's coming from heaven. Make sure you put it on your head so it can bless you for the rest of the year. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And he says no limit means that you have to increase your capacity. Okay, tell your neighbor to neighbor. Your barn might be too small. You're going to have to go build a larger capacity for the blessings that God has already stored up for you just for this year. And then I was just reading in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. Okay, there was a famine in the land coming out of the 6th chapter. Okay, the country of Syria, okay, had caused the seas to come upon the nation of Israel. Okay, to the point that it was so extreme, life was so hard, that they started practicing cannibalism. Y'all know what cannibalism is?
Yeah.
Okay, praise God. Now, fried chicken, again, I'll tell you this, fried chicken is good.
Steak
is good.
Steak is good.
But Negro meat ain't good. But Elijah said in the first one, he said, this time tomorrow. Okay. And he started talking about the cost of a sea of flour. And see, you always got folks, you got to be careful. When a prophetic word is declared and released in the house, if you're not careful, you might be a skeptic. A skeptic becomes a spectator, but not a participator.
That's right.
Wow.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So you got to believe that when a prophetic word is released and it gives birth, it really causes, the impossible to take place.
Yeah.
And now, the what God is going to do is on such a miraculous level, you just got to ask God, even if I don't understand, give me faith, all right, to believe that what you're about to do, praise God, I can receive it by faith.
Yeah,
Anyone understand that?
Yeah.
Because how many believe that God's got some stuff set up for you, and it's almost impossible for you humanly to even begin to conceive and to believe?
Come on.
If that's you, you need to ask God, help my unbelief.
Oh, that's right.
All right? God, help my unbelief, because I don't want my unbelief to limit me from receiving all that God has in store. All right?
Yeah.
And so the Bible says there was a man that the king leaned on. All right? He said, if the Lord would, attitude, he challenged the authority, the prophetic authority of the man of God. He said, if the windows of heaven should open up, he said, how can this be? How can this be? You got that, mother?
Yeah.
Praise God. And the prophet said, he said, you'll see it, but you will not be a participator.
Wow.
I don't want a word to be declared over my life.
My God.
Here I am a skeptic. Because I don't have faith to believe it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around a person that has a negative attitude.
My God.
God's getting ready to pour out his blessings upon my life, and I'm in a corporate setting.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness, somebody?
Yeah.
God, tell your neighbor, maybe you got to fight to trust God.
Amen.
Praise God. Me and my wife, we had an episode yesterday. Praise God, we were coming back. Awesome meeting down at Pastor's Leadership Conference, and we were in the awesome. Bishop Jakes preached from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verse 1. And he did. The Lord just used the man yesterday.
Praise God.
It was just for Pastor. He didn't even record it. He said, I want this in-house. Whoever's here, they're getting this word. And he began talking about how the Spirit was Lord's upon him, took him up, set him up, brought him out, all right, and then set him down. I'm telling you, the place was just, we was just, we're just receiving. So here, and he talked about ministering, ministering to dry bones. Ministering to dry bones. And so, we coming back with the revelation that we got to minister to the bones. All right? So here we go. We get into the airport, Pastor. I'm talking about this 500 people. Now, normally, by being in law enforcement, I try to use that to my advantage. All right? So when I see the line, I go up and I tell somebody, I'm in law enforcement. So the first thing they asked, they said, are you packing? I said, no, I'm not packing. So, they usually usher me to the front of the line. And yesterday, I guess they said, well, we ain't having that today. Amen. You have to. I said, I've been coming here for 11 years and never have not received any type of favoritism or assistance. My wife is in the wheelchair. All right. And we really need to make this flight. See, and so what happened, Dr. Choi, praise God, they wouldn't advance us. So I'm starting to get a little attitude, praise God, and then, but I had to keep cool. You see, now here's what it was. The person that was had her and was rolling her in the wheelchair, he was speaking all negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't going to make this flight, so forth and so on.
Oh,
see, and I thought about that later on. That's exactly what people will do when a good word has been declared over your life.
Wow.
You know, they stay afloat.
Yeah.
That's how that's going to happen. That ain't going to work. The devil is a liar.
Right.
If God
says
he's a creed, it shall come to pass. He doesn't need an amendment to change what he's already spoken. Second name is the neighbor.
Hold on
to the word of God. And it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I just want you to know we made the flight. Let me tell you why we made the flight. Number one, I held on to the word. Number two, praise God, while I had dropped off my wife and we got our tickets at curbside check-in, we got our tickets. That's our little protocol. I drop her off. She gets the tickets. I go back and drop the car off. They go get her the wheelchair. By the time they get her the wheelchair, I'm coming back, and then we go ahead and we process, go through security, get to the gate. Okay? On the way back, there was a Caucasian woman, and she was struggling, all right? She was traveling with a baby, and she had five suitcases, okay, on the roller. And every 2 feet, praise God, the suitcases would fall. And I looked at her, and there was nobody around. So, you know, my heart of compassion said, "You need help. You need help." She says, "Yes, I need help." So I helped on the elevator, and you know, the suitcases started falling off. It fell off of me on three times. Okay, we restacked them, and we finally got on the elevator. We got off, and then we had to go through the escalator. But I'm watching my time, because I know I got to make the flight. I don't even anticipate there's gonna be a big crowd out there. Okay, so what happened was I got her through the escalator, got her to another elevator, and I told her, I said, "You're gonna be in a good place, because the only thing I do is get on the elevator. They'll help you. All right, and they'll take you up, and then you'll be able to make it." Okay, and I just went on. Okay, well, I didn't know, really, I was sowing seeds of righteousness. I didn't know I was setting myself up. Didn't know. Are you listening to me? Praise God. And so when I went through that whole process in the line to try to get the flight, okay, and we made it, it was 37,000 feet up in the air. The Lord arrested me, and he says, "Now, do you think I would let you miss that flight when you sold, okay, seeds of righteousness?"
Look at that.
He said, "I would not let the plane depart without you being on it."
Yeah.
All right?
My
because
God.
You sold to the least of them.
Yes.
That lady didn't know me from a can of paint, but I know that she was in need.
Yeah.
And because I took the time, careful right now, because if you don't receive, God's got some rejects.
Mm-hmm.
Some folk who ain't even in church.
My God.
My God.
Hallelujah.
You
know,
that he can use, all right, to fulfill his word. There were four lepers, four lepers.
Mm-hmm.
And they heard the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they weren't supposed to be a part of the mainstream society.
Mm-hmm.
When you were leper during Bible days,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have access to be a part. They couldn't come into a place like this.
That's right.
They couldn't sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that they touched was unclean.
Mm-hmm.
If they sat down in a chair, it's unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And they touched was unclean.
Mm-hmm.
But they heard the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the Bible says that they started reasoning among themselves, and they said, "Well, if we stay here, we're going to die."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Perhaps if we go over there, it might be better for us. If it's not, we'll die over there.
Mm-hmm.
But how many folk know that God will get into the zeal and release the supernatural while you're operating in faith?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bible lets you know while they was walking, God magnified their footsteps. And four, everybody say four leopards. The Syrian army, they thought they heard an army.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow. You hear what I'm saying?
Wow.
You know their name and says, neighbor?
Neighbor.
God will make you look like a giant.
God will make you look like a giant.
Come on, somebody. Go ahead, wrap it up. You got that truck? I know you're a preacher. Turn it off. Amen. I don't want the car. It's got to be 10%. Senior offering. I know he's gonna preach. Here's what they do in public. Here's what they do in seminary. Okay, the first time, you reference this.
Yeah.
Like I heard my uncle say, Dr. Kaiser. And the next time you use it, like I heard a preacher say. And the third time, like I always say. You ain't preached not yet. Send me my office, bro. Send me my office. It's for them, your mother down there with her 90th birthday, it was her birthday, he was down in Baltimore,
yeah.
You remember down there, he got up there and show up, his own grandma said, Troy, don't get up there doing all that preaching, let's have a little more errand, praise God, grandma had to put him in check, and he wrecked the place in 3 minutes, he wrecked it in 3 minutes, and I said, that's mother baby, I said, that Negro, he's my nephew. He's from Patterson, and we knew him, and we still know him now. Listen. By the time the lepers got over, by the time they got over to the Syrian camp, here's where the surprise. The Bible says, in one translation, says, to their surprise, they did not find a soldier in the Syrian camp.
That's right.
That's it.
But all the loot. Okay, all the abundance of stuff was right there.
Right there where you
are.
Here's what I like about it. They got their stuff, but listen, never get so selfish that you get blessed, you can't tell nobody else.
That's right.
Because some folk, God can't bless because he blesses you, you won't share. You want to keep it to yourself.
That's right.
They had to go tell somebody.
They
went and told the king. This is what happened. And the word of the Lord that came out of Elijah's mouth, okay, did not return void.
Yeah.
On that next day, praise God, the cost of the seal of flour was affordable that everybody could eat.
Yeah.
Okay, and guess what happens? Okay, when the multitude came, see, one thing I'm learning, John, we have to learn how not to preach, not to teach, but we got to learn how to administrate and organize our people so when the glory of God falls, it will not create a chaotic situation.
That's it.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
See, those people, they started bum rushing, okay, but the Lord allowed it to happen because that the officer who didn't believe, he got in the way.
Wow.
Unbelieving folk will get in the way.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, you folks sitting in chairs here, if you're operating on belief, you better get out of the way. But the people who God has raised up to believe, they're going to trample over you. They trampled over you. And he was dead. He saw it. But he could not participate. What word has been declared over your life?
My.
In this ministry that shall come to pass. Either you believe it or get out the way. Tell your neighbor, say, believe it, or get out the way. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God's got something special for you.
Yeah.
You're going through some stuff, but God's got something special for you. And stuff that you've been, I don't want to embarrass you, I don't want to shout you out, but I got a word from the Lord. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can I have a private moment in a corporate setting? There's stuff that you've been through, you ain't told nobody. Okay? And in the midst of you going through, there are times that you want to cry, but you can't cry. And it's time that you really want to open up and just tell what you're going through. But I don't know who I can trust. I don't know who will really believe me. God says, I see your tears.
Woo, my God.
He
Thank
says,
you,
I
God.
Felt your pain.
Thank you, God.
And so today's your day for a breakthrough. Is that your daughter? Are you related to her?
No.
Praise God. Okay. Say, God got something for you too. Hallelujah. Come on up here. 1 minute. I'm going to preach, but I'm already flowing. You got all right? That's right. You're free today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be careful. Every time there's a divine intervention, All right? This is when there's a divine intervention, it suspends the ordinary things.
Yeah.
Okay, what God does, he breaks it up, he comes in, he listens. It's like Elijah going to Ahab. Okay, there's an introduction. Elijah of Gilead. That's his introduction. There's an intrusion. Because he's not invited to come into Ahab's presence. But he listens to me, and then he serves the indictment, then he leaves. He makes the announcement, and when he announces, praise God, the heavens shut up. For 3.5 years.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? Praise God. For 3.5 years, he said, according to my word, when you spend time with God, God will speak to you.
Yeah.
God says, I'll use you to speak truth to power.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Listen, the reason why he said it is based upon Deuteronomy 11 chapter, verse 17. He says, anytime that the nation went into apostasy, he said, I will shut up the heavens.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And so Elijah got that word. He declared it before Ahab, and God said, boom, there it is. I just needed a man that would release my word in the earth realm.
Wow. Yeah.
Shut the heaven up for 3.5 years.
Wow.
Oh, you listen to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After the 3.5 years, then he says, get tell Ahab. Then he goes back to Ahab. He says, Elijah, he goes back and tells Ahab, he said, get down from here. He said, tell him I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Yes, God.
Elijah was used to close it up. Elijah was used to open the back.
Yes, God.
There's some things God is closing in your life.
My Lord.
But God is opening up a new season, new chapter in your life. How many are ready for the new season? I don't know what it all is, but I'm open to receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said,
hallelujah.
It should never be the same. I'm just about to. Can I do 15? You want to give me 15 minutes?
Yes,
I need you to write down number one. Write down, if you will. Write down Hebrews 11 and 6. No, 11 and 1. Hebrews. No. Genesis 11 and 1. Genesis 11 and 1. Write down Acts 1 and 14 and 2 and 1. And then write down Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, 12, 13. Okay. Again, Genesis 11 chapter, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody get that.
Genesis and Hebrews.
11 and 1.
Genesis
11 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, this has to do with the vision of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, in the vision of the house, let me say, with every house, in order for it to function, and to be God-ordained house, there must be a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got to be a vision. Habakkuk 2 and 3, you can write that down. The Bible says, for the vision is for a point of time, and then it shall speak, and it shall not lie.
Yes.
Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We who are in the body of Christ, we live from faith to faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what God does, God, in each season of faith, gives an emphasis, okay, for a particular area of the vision to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what is required of you, since this is your 10th year, say this is 10. This is the 10th year anniversary. In biblical numerology, the number 10 represents testimony, law, or responsibility. You need to write that down. Testimony, law, or responsibility. This is your responsibility. Now that you have completed 10 years, okay, for the existence of this house. Okay, number one, you must know what the vision is. The vision only comes from the vision and the visionaries. It's their job to cast the vision. You understand that? It's their job to cast the vision. There's only one vision in the house. Say this with me, there's only one vision in the house. Anytime there's two or more, that means that there's division.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you listening to me? And when it's division, that means that strife comes through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says where the spirit of strife is every evil work.
Yeah.
Anybody understand that?
Yeah.
All right? So there has to be a vision according to Habakkuk 2 and 3. Genesis, now watch this. This is your job. Genesis, okay, 11 and 1.
Yes,
sir. Says it speaks of one language and one tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You need to write it down. Write it down. One language and one tongue. It is important that you speak the same thing.
Yes, yes.
As it pertains to the vision of the house.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Now, it is their job by the Spirit of God to teach the word, and it's the job of the Holy Ghost to slay okay, vision opposers in the house.
Yeah.
We need folk who are fighting the vision to be exposed.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People who are backbiting and fighting, okay, the vision that God has placed in their heart, they need to have the spotlight cast on them so they can be exposed.
Uh-huh.
All right? The exposure at least unveils their heart and gives them an opportunity to receive correction, okay, and repute. Okay, reproof or rebuke or release.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Praise God. Correction, instruction, reproof, rebuke.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to go through that process and you still want to stay, you want to fight division, then it's time for you to be excommunicated. Because you don't need folk fighting division. All right? It's enough trying to get people on board to buy into the vision. All right? Let me say this. Y'all know this is not your resting place. This is your temporary gathering place for the people to have a place of reference to come. But you, listen, your vision, the vision that God has placed in your pastor's heart is bigger than this room.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking in particular to rest of the family of Restoration Christian Ministry, all the people that belong in this house, okay, your vision that God has given your pastors is bigger than this room. All right? So don't get comfortable.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let me give you an example, okay, in the natural. When a mother eagle gives birth to her eaglets, okay, internally, maternally, she knows the different phases of their development. All right? That's an internal, okay, knowing. And she knows that they reach a certain length of days that when they start to develop the potential to fly, it's not totally there yet. So what she does is the same beat that feeds them is the same beat that irritates them, because she does not want them to get comfortable. Okay, so what she does is she feeds them, and then she goes and she starts to prick them because she doesn't want them to get comfortable in the nest because they weren't born to stay in the nest for the rest of their life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And what she does is she keeps picking them. She keeps making them uncomfortable till one day, as they continue to grow and develop, she takes them up. Okay, and she takes them up by her mouth, and then she takes them to a certain height, okay, where she knows that they don't really have the permanent development and growth to fly, but it gives them an opportunity to start exercising by flapping their wings. Okay, now watch this. She knows, praise God, that there is a certain, okay, depth that she allows them to fall. Because her job is not to let them fall to the ground, but to catch them in the nick of time. And then she takes them back.
She puts them back into the nest. Uh-huh.
Okay, but that's only for that day, because tomorrow she repeats the process because she wants them to get used to flapping their wings.
Come on.
The more they flap their wings, the more they exercise, the more they become, their wings become stronger. Then ultimately, come on somebody, I say to Restoration, guess what? God has sent me here to tell you, praise God, he's stirring up the nest.
Because
he wants you to start flapping your wings,
because
you're getting ready to take off from here.
Can
I give you a prophetic word?
Hallelujah.
Praise, from here on out, until you get out of here, you will not be comfortable in this room. I'm going to tell you why. How many of y'all are members of the church?
Amen.
Get excited. That's a prophetic word. I don't care what's for y'all. Y'all ain't coming back here. All right? We ought to just celebrate. We ought to just be excited for them. Come on. Say, they ain't coming. Look at them and say, they ain't coming back here. Amen. God's going to bring enough money. That's right. Enough people.
Amen.
It takes people and money to do ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing?
Yeah.
We need some more Black head.
Yes.
White head.
Yes.
Latino head.
Yes.
Asian. We need people.
Yes.
And people are going to bring the money.
Yes.
She's dead and gone. The late Miriam, Dr. Miriam Allen Strong.
Yes.
She first came to my church. She told me she came Peaceful Weekend, blessed us and encouraged us. And I took her back to the airport. And she said to me, she said, son, don't worry about the money.
Mm.
She said, you get the people.
Mm-hmm.
The money is in the people.
Amen.
She said, don't worry, don't go for the money. She said, you go and believe God for the people.
Yeah.
And you teach them, they'll know how to give.
I remember her.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. So I'm saying, listen, praise God, God's got a whole lot more people to come into the house.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right,
amen.
Now watch this, because I want you to catch this. So when we look at what God is doing in this season, okay, you got to have one language and one tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go with me to Acts 1:14. I'm just about to. Acts 1:14. I know my people are tired of looking at me cross-eyed and listening. Okay, the neck is going to the side. Your body language says, I wish you would hush and sit down so we can get out of here. I want to thank my people for coming.
Amen.
Y'all love on them. Amen. You probably got to smile when you don't want to smile.
Yeah.
Right? All right, now watch this. In the 14th verse of the book of Acts, the first chapter, it talks about how the 120, okay, how they prayed and they got on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not enough just to know the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody got to be on one accord.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now watch this. Two things come out of one accord. I call it one accord. It's unity and it's harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You must unify around the vision. Harmony means that there are two or more in the visual, and it's a term used in music that you learn how to harmonize.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Are you listening to me? Tell you, we need some harmony in the house.
We need some harmony.
We need some harmony in the house.
Harmony in the house.
Anybody here sing? Who sings with me? Matthew, you sing? Who else sing? Y'all sing?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a song. We're going to harmonize. Y'all just sing. Come on. Give me something. Okay. Grace and Restoration. Welcome. What you just got finished saying?
Welcome to Grace and Restoration. Carrying His Word through
the nation. You hear harmony there? Now, he's singing tenor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or baritone. You singing alto.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What was you singing? You were flowing, but no, but I heard you. See, because you remember the church. You gave a testimony, right? You back, right? I heard all that. Right? I told you now I was listening to you. I wasn't asleep. Amen. And soon as I said sing, I looked at them. I didn't have to tell her to sing.
Mm-hmm.
She jumped right in. That's harmony.
Yeah.
So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,
yeah.
You got to know your part.
Yeah.
You got to stay in the king. Amen. I want you to sing it all for me.
Yeah.
Sing in that key. What key do you sing in? Whatever key they sing, that's what you sing in.
Yeah.
Say, neighbor, one accord, one accord.
One accord.
One accord. This is how you get on one accord. Okay, it's right there in the text, in verse 14. Somebody read that. They prayed. They prayed.
Continue.
They all continued. Tell your neighbor, we got to continue. We start?
Got to continue.
Continue in what?
With one accord.
One accord and what?
In prayer.
In prayer. That's how you get it. That's how you get on one accord. That's how you get on one accord.
Yes.
Okay, through prayer.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you got to continue.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Other than corporate worship, the next important thing, all right, is the prayer meeting, not the business meeting.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on.
Not the business meeting. This is how you're going to get on one accord. The word of the Lord had already been declared by Jesus. He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. That's found in Luke 23rd chapter, verse 49, 24, verse 49. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He told him where to go. He said, tarry. Tarry means to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, until the Father sends the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They were at Jerusalem. They were in the upper room. It was a 10-day prayer meeting. Okay? Sometime, a half an hour prayer meeting ain't going to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Am I right, Pastor? You got to continue. Because a lot of times in prayer, you just got finished the song that you sang when I first got here. You got to empty out yourself so you can be filled with Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes... Okay, you to be filled. You got to empty out all your stuff, all your mess, all right, before God will come and fill you with His presence.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Watch this now. In order to get in his presence, you first got to be filled with his spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
People want to get in his presence, but you got to first, he's going to fill you with the spirit, then you get into the presence.
Come on.
You got some folk that want to get into the presence, but you ain't got his spirit.
My God. My God.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So you got to understand now.
Yeah.
All right. The vision of the house, all right, it's for a set time, it's for an appointed time. You got to speak the same language, the same tongue. All right, whatever they say, that's what you say. What do I say? Say what they say.
Amen.
Whatever they believe in God for this time, if it's you, pastor, if you's pastor, your people must follow you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Now, let me give you a case in point. Listen, last year, year before last, we believed in God to pay off the building. Praise God, I just didn't know when I was going to release it to the church. I knew we were going to do it, and the Lord told me to do it the second Sunday, March 8th, okay, 2015. I said, we had a little under $100,000 left, okay, balance sold. I cast the vision to the church, okay. People automatically responded that day. People started pledging $1,000, okay, got up in the line, so forth. It was a great day. But the goal was to pay it off by the end of July. That was the vision. Now, some folks said, well, we're doing it in August. They're doing it in September. That ain't what God told me. I know what God told me. I said, July. That's what it's going to be. Okay, matter of fact, you don't need to be speaking if you ain't in agreement. Just us. Don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, if you keep on talking, then I'm going to have to be forceful to shut up.
Yeah.
Okay, if you keep on talking, I'm going to use some adjectives before shut up. Okay, say, if I stay in the spirit, you don't even know what I'm going to say. Wait, what I'm saying? They all get it cut, though. I didn't say that. I said, adjectives. Hello? Maybe he know how to deal with your kind. He know how to deal with your kind. Amen. Amen. Listen, the last Sunday in the month of July, guess what? Praise God. We paid that building off.
We were
debt free in July. They came in December 6th. Okay. We had, praise God, a mortgage burning settlement.
Yeah.
We put the fire to the paper. The building is ours. You know, especially with us, people like to go to the bathroom. They like a clean bathroom and a comfortable bathroom.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
And you want to, especially when you're in public bathroom. Is that right?
Yeah.
I know people have problems with our church because the bathrooms wasn't updated. People would hold this stuff all day long, be miserable. I can't wait till I get home and get out of here with a bathroom. And the Holy Ghost said, no, praise God. So we just completed the first bathroom.
Amen. All right? Amen.
First bathroom. Comfortable.
Clean.
Amen. Or whatever else on there. Listen, we just said just don't stay too long because it's a public bathroom. All right. We get ready to go downstairs to finish the next bathroom. And guess what? Praise God, it takes money. See, that's part of the vision.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So guess what? The people still have outstanding debt in our house. We're telling them, praise God, listen, your money still could be usable because we want to complete the project. And if they don't, we're just going to cast the vision. Other people are going to get because the job is going to get done. See, when you're in the season, whatever season you're in for as the vision, God will put a special anointing on the heart of the people to respond so the vision can be complete.
Yeah.
Anybody understand that?
Yeah.
All right, then. All right, Acts 2, verse 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost when it fully come, it was all in one accord in one place.
One accord in one place.
We don't need other folks doing your vision, okay, at the expense of this house.
Amen.
Okay, don't try to get your stuff off. If you call the ministry, don't fleece the people to pick people off to take with you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's best that you tell us now so we can release you. And then what we're going to do is tell you, go prove your ministry.
Yeah.
That's not being mean. Go prove your ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
Me and my wife started, we started with nothing. All right, just me and her. We got an agreement, praise God, and we were always in agreement, but we didn't say that to the public. We just kept down and stayed in agreement. And God started blessing.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Sometimes, Troy, your wife might not be in agreement. You keep that at home.
Yeah.
Keep it in the car.
Yeah.
All right? When you get out there, that's why I make you laugh. And I go, amen. You're going to get a bigger car. I'm prophesying to you. Amen. When you come and raise your money in your house. Amen. That's right. When you get out the car, you put your game face on. Praise the Lord. Love the people. You're not going to let anybody know you had an intense conversation with your wife. Don't show that. Amen. You just make me so mad. You better smile and bless her in front of those folks. Amen. Am I telling you right? You pay me later on, too. Amen. Tell me later on. Amen. Amen. You got that. Amen. Amen. Give me my money. Amen. I'll step on down and back. That's what you said. Amen. All right. That's what you said, man. Amen. on for me. I want to pay for my church. Come on, son. Now watch this on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
On the day of Pentecost,
yeah,
when it's fully come,
yeah,
they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next thing you need to know that you need to be filled,
yeah,
with the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
It takes the fullness of the Spirit,
yeah,
to get on one accord.
That's right. That's
to speak
right,
the same language.
Uh-huh.
You don't need no unfilled folk in key positions that will hinder.
That's right.
Because
absolutely,
they don't have the operation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in their midst.
Yeah, yeah.
And last but not least, okay, go with me to Ephesians. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah, right.
Ephesians the fourth chapter, verse 11. And the Bible says, he who ascended, descended, okay, to the lower parts, and then he came back up, praise God, and then he ascended, he said at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says in verse 11, and this is Jesus now, he gave gifts to men.
That's yeah, right.
When you look at the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of them give gifts to the body of Christ. You'll find in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, okay, Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 11, that's the gifts of the Father.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Okay? If you look in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, okay, verses 7 through 11, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, that's the gifts of Jesus Christ. The Bible said he gave some to be apostles,
mm-hmm,
some to be prophets,
yes,
some to be what?
Evangelists.
Some to be what?
Pastors
and teachers. Now, what is their purpose?
For the work.
All right. No, before the work, all right, they must be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your Bible, verse 12. For what? For the perfecting of the saints.
Yes.
How many want to be used by God? Anybody want to be used by God? All right, before you use the promise, this is the criteria to be used by God, especially in the house. You first have to be broken. You got to get your foot broke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, he was in the world, but he had a right. You got to get on the good foot. Tell him you got to get on the good foot.
Yeah.
Y'all know who sung that, right?
Yeah. James Brown.
Who sung that?
James Brown.
Get on the good foot.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ask about y'all saved, or you like me. You know, you remember hot pants, you remember cold sweat, you remember all of that. But I was just playing it the other day when I was in the privacy of my hotel room.
Yeah.
Did he play that kind of music? Yeah, I broke out in a cold sweat. Okay, I wasn't wearing hot pants. Come on, somebody. And I was on the good foot. Tell you to get on the good foot.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. Watch this. The word there, perfecting,
mm-hmm,
okay, in the Greek is called katatismos.
Mm-hmm.
It means to break a bone to reset.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? So in other words, what he's saying is, for the perfecting of the saints, before you can actually do work in the ministry, you need to have some places broken in your life,
mm-hmm,
so he can reset the ball, so you can get in line and walk straight.
Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good.
Anybody understand that? Everybody say, once you recover, from the broken bone, now it's time to work
in the ministry.
That's good, Pastor.
You got to work. You got to work.
Yeah.
You didn't come here to sit down like you got it all like that. They need help. Point at them and say, pastors need help. Amen. They need all the help they can get. They need your gift, your talent, your ability. They need your tithes. They need your offer. And I'm here to speak on their behalf.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to say what they want to say, but they can't say, but I know he's crazy enough. He'll say it anyway.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? No, we all need help.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.